Welcome to Face Rocker Podcast number 29, just in time for Halloween.
Actually, we missed Halloween. It was
last week?
Yeah, we just...
Crap. It doesn't matter. It's horror-themed anyway, but before we get into that, we heard you guys last time about the Key & Peele podcast, so we're going to be putting on the full podcast on YouTube and also on our site, rocketjump.com, if you prefer to listen to it, or on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. It helps us out quite a bit. This week, we're talking to Brian Collins, a guy who watched a horror movie every day for 5 years straight. Which is a lot of horror movies.
That's so many movies.
Yeah, he's going to talk to us about that. He even watched, to give you an idea of how many horror movies he watched, he even watched Bear, the crappy direct-to-DVD horror movie that I made in 2010. We make fun of it quite a bit. It's really entertaining.
If you guys are digging these podcasts and you want us to keep doing these, you should support us by checking out audible.com.
Yeah, audible.com/rocketjump. You get a 30-day free trial. It's much easier, I find, to listen to books. Reading can be difficult, especially with my poor vision and how difficult it is to see things. So... I do recommend it. You can get a 30-day free trial. Dez, you got a book recommendation for the kiddos back at home?
Ender's Game. Oh. Big movie out right now from Lionsgate. Listening to the audiobook narrated narrated by Harlan Ellison, actually.
Oh, really?
A famous science fiction writer.
Wait, have you never read Ender's Game?
No, I actually haven't.
That is shocking. If you haven't read Ender's Game, you really should.
I'm sure.
Or listen to it on Audible. Anyway, thanks very much, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to yet another Face Rocker podcast, joined by the usual hooligans, Matt Arnold, to my right.
Hello.
And Dez Dolly.
To your ultimate right.
To the ultimate right. And we are joined today by Brian Collins. Say hello.
Hello.
Brian is a film editor, Badass Digest writer. You may have seen him Bloody Disgusting. You probably know him from a pretty rad, I don't know, was it? Film experiment, I guess. What would you call that?
The marathons,
endurance test,
an OCD nightmare. No, yeah, a horror movie a day was something that I started. Just basically, a quick version is, you know, you rent. This is 2007, so there was no such thing as Netflix Instant. You rented the actual discs, and I noticed one day that the three discs I had rented had them for like 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I could have bought these movies for less money, you know? So I was just like, and then I'm just thinking about my day, like you work 8 hours, you sleep 8 hours, like that's 8 hours of the day that you could do something, you know? I'm like, I can watch a movie every day. Mm-hmm. And that was right when I'd started writing for Bloody. And I was like, you know, there's some movies I'd missed along the way. Like I'd never seen Rosemary's Baby at that point. And you know, a couple others. So I was like, I should start watching more movies, you know, the newer stuff, the older stuff I had missed, you know. I'm like, I could just do this every day. Like, it's easy. And then, like, after a month or so, I was like, eh, I'm going to try writing, like, write just a few quick thoughts on each movie. That might be fun as, like, a feature for Bloody. But one of the guys at Bloody, there's two guys that run it, one of them wasn't interested in it. So I was like, yeah, I'll just do it on a blog, I guess. And I figured I'd do it for, like, a year or so.
How long did you do it?
So 365 movies in.
Yeah. And then a year went by. I'm like, you know, I'm still having fun. I was still kind of like getting better as a writer, I think. I look at the old reviews and I kind of like, ugh, awful.
Were you dedicated to writing an article a day?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, it was definitely watching every day. Sometimes the writing would kind of have to wait like a day or two, you know. It was definitely like the weekends, you know. I was just like, I don't want to write. Like, I'll watch my stuff and then I'll write the stuff on Monday. But, you know, after a year or so, I still hadn't seen everything like I thought I should see, and I was still enjoying it. And so I just kept on going until I was like, oh, I'll just keep going until...
6 years
later.
Yeah,
until 6 years. I'm like, I'll just do it for 6 years.
Jeez.
No, I didn't know when... I didn't think it would last that long.
Films.
Yeah, and I still haven't emptied my queue. I still get them. And I'm like, I get them. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to watch this anymore. This is so much... There's so much crap out there.
Yeah. I mean, what would you say the ratio of like you finishing a movie and being like, all right, that was worth my time to just, ugh. Bleh.
It changed. At first, it was a lot of like, Jesus Christ, like, this is awful.
Yeah.
But as I started seeing more and more, I was like, you know, some of those early movies really weren't that bad. It was just that, like, because, you know, like, you know, I was a huge horror fan, but I wasn't like digging deep. You know, I was watching the stuff that you guys would watch. Like, you know, like the stuff that hit the theaters or like the cool foreign indies that I had heard about. Mm. It wasn't like, let me go and watch all those Children of the Corn sequels, you know, like, you know, so,
that's a whole month right there.
Yeah. So, after a while, I kind of look back at the, I would label movies crap if they were absolute, like if I thought they were the worst of the worst, like no redeeming value whatsoever. And like, you'd see that number like trickle like less and less each year. Cause like by like 2011, I'd be like, yeah, none of those movies that I called crap at the beginning deserve it compared to what I'm finding now.
We need a new sub-crap level layer.
So it's like, yeah, after a while, you just start to get an appreciation for the movies that they're bad, but they're not that bad.
Did it really give you like a whole different perspective on
Yeah, films? Definitely. Like, especially like the smaller independent stuff, because like you start to get like this like sixth sense for like the guys that they really do want to make a cool horror movie, and they're just inept, and the guys that are like, hey, this made money, Paranormal Activity made money, Halloween made money, let's do that, like they did it with nothing, we can do it with nothing. And you get to see that cynicism like 10 like minutes 70s
in. Italian method of
filmmaking. But without that, like, holy shit, what are they thinking, you know? It's just like the most basic and still inept, which is like, you know, at least it, you know, I mean, the Paranormal Activity sequels are cynical, but they're not completely inept, you know. They have some skill behind them. So yeah, you just see, especially once Netflix Instant started, there was a lot of stuff because they were just trying to fill that bank like, up.
Netflix,
you know,
like, it wasn't something.
Yeah, it wasn't studios at first. It wasn't like Paramount and Fox and Sony all like filling it up. It was like these little distributors
that were just like anything.
Yeah, and you know,
how would you select what to watch next?
Anything. I didn't want to plan. Like, obviously, if I'm going to a festival or if there's a big movie opening, like, I knew, like, okay, like, you know, Evil Dead's opening, so that's going to be Friday's movie, you know? Right.
Otherwise, a giant dartboard and monkeys and typewriters.
Yeah, but no, I mean, the spontaneity of it, I think, was helpful because, like, every now and then I'd do something kind of planned. Like, 1 week, there was enough movies of Night of the Living Dead to do an entire week. Mm-hmm. The original is the remake, there's the 3D, there's the documentary, there's, you know, so it's like, oh, I'll do that. 1 week, I'm just going to do nothing but Night of the Living Dead. Yeah. But like by like day three or four, I was sick of it. I'm like, I don't want to look at Johnny saying Barbara again, you know what I mean? So yeah, I tried to mix it up as much as possible just to like, you know, because you're doing something every day. It's no matter what, no matter how different they are, it's going to start feeling the same. So the least I could do is make sure.
Would you ever like, it's like, hey, it's Christmas coming up. Let's do a little, just theme it out a little bit. Let's get some snow.
Yeah, I try. Like, not on Christmas. On December 24th, I'd usually try to do a holiday movie because, you know, I'd be out from work and I could watch it in the morning and write the review that day and have it up for whoever was like still on the internet and wanted a new movie to watch. Like, do or don't watch this, you know. But then Christmas Day would just be like, all right, well, Teresa's cooking, my wife, she's off cooking, and I'll watch whatever I find, you know.
How did your wife handle it?
She
that why you stopped?
I'm wearing this ceremony now. She was actually really cool about it. She's not a big horror fan. I think she said she saw maybe like 5 horror movies before we started dating. And she'd watch a lot of them because she's a very emphatic person. Like, she can instantly care. Mm-hmm. And so she could walk halfway in through a movie, and it would just be the girl running through the woods. You're like, oh, no. Like, I'm like, why do you care about her? For all you know, she's the bad guy. And it's just somebody else, like a cop chasing her.
She's chasing the cop.
So, you know, she, for a while, she was watching a lot of them. Well, I mean, not the whole thing, but she, you know, she came in, she'd sit down and watch. She'd remind me every time I said, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. She's like, no, you said that last week.
Is there anything she particularly enjoyed?
She,
that you hated. Like, you're writing crap, and she was like, that was fantastic.
She's like, what are you talking about? That's awesome. No, she usually shared, she didn't care much either way. Usually she just enjoyed, like, the spectacle and hanging out with me for a bit. Mm-hmm. But no, she was real great when I quit. She's like, what day are you stopping? I was like, well, it's going to be March 31st because, like, I counted. I said I was going to do 2,500 movies. Mm-hmm. And I said this at 2,100. So I gave myself a year and a month or whatever that was, advance notice. She's like, you sure? Like, that'll be the day. I'm like, yeah. She's like, okay. And she's like, make sure you keep that night open. And I figured, she's like, we're just going to go out to dinner to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And she actually, like, got all of our friends. rented out the Jump Cut Cafe, which is where we do our horror trivia thing every month. And it was like a surprise wake for the site. Like everybody had like rest in peace horror movie day shirts, and they made like a quilt of all these horror shirts. And my buddy Jason, he did this like 20-minute video of everybody doing like the little testimonials, like it was really cool.
That's
awesome. Like, wow, like I was so confused when I walked in because like everybody's there, and I was like, what happened? Like, is this like an intervention? Some, like addiction I don't know about? I'm like, I'm quitting the one addiction.
It would have been if you decided not to quit that day.
It was an either way party. Like, they just had to flip the shirts over. Like, please help. And I was just so confused. Like, why is everybody here? Like, I didn't think. Like, those guys gave a shit that I was quitting. Like, it was just, like, some weird thing I was doing. Like, would you throw your friends a party if, like, you were like, hey, I'm going to stop watching The Simpsons? Like, oh, let's get a party going.
Guys, we got a place we got to rent out. All of it.
Did you happen to stumble across a movie called Bear?
Bear? Wait.
You saw Bear, didn't you?
Did you see Bear?
The one with the couples?
Like,
Oh, no way!
Yeah.
He produced that.
Oh, nice. Dude, the bear wanted them to repent. I was dying.
Dude, that bear was like a marriage counselor in the form of a bear.
The bear knew that like the one guy's embezzling, one guy's cheating on his wife,
and
or whatever.
The bear's like, we're going to keep you guys here until this gets resolved.
I can't believe he's seen Bear.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
I just...
Wait, just real quick. Yeah. This should give you, everybody listening out there, a scope, an idea of just the sheer scope and breadth of this experiment that he has pulled. I think Bear is available on Pirate Bay and Redbox. Those are the two places that you could get Bear.
I should pull up my review and see. I think I got a screener of it, actually.
No, wait a minute. Awesome. I think we might have even thrown a quote on the DVD from you, just because, and it was totally one of those, like, there's a dot, dot, dot in here. As soon as you see a dot, dot, dot in the quote, it's like, that's like, I need to go to that website
it's,
and see.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's just like the words before, the least they could have done is make it interesting.
Oh, yeah, no, cool, that was,
you know, Chris Wayless did the...
That's true.
Bear effects in the film. The guy who designed the effects of the fly in Gremlins. Yeah.
Dark Island.
One of the coolest moments, by the way, just real quick on the topic of Wayless. The coolest moments of my life was going to his like creature shop / house up in Santa Barbara, and he pulled down the original pitch maquette that they had made for Gremlins. This is what we sold the movie with. Was this little like doll they made? Like, this was the thing, and that's what they.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, this is so cool.
That's amazing.
So let me ask you something real quick. So we need to get to Bear in just a second. But the funny thing about did you watched other movies during this time, right?
Yeah. And that was kind of like the hard thing was just like trying to keep up with
just
normal
the regular
movies.
World.
Yeah.
I was like, well, okay, this is gonna come back around. So just give me a second.
Okay, you got it.
When I was in high school, I went on this anime watching binge. Okay. And then like because of that. When I went and saw regular movies, I was weirded out by a regular Hollywood ending. Like when it didn't end in some weird, stupid Japanese bizarre thing and made me feel like, what did I just watch? And I was just like, and that's it. The hero won and they got the girl. It's like, that's weird. I'm just expecting that. Did you notice that when you're watching regular movies? Are you like, is there gonna be a twist ending? The monster's not actually dead. And then when it didn't, you're just like, that feels weird. Shit doesn't seem right.
It was just nice to know that like anything I went to go see would be competent. Like that was the main thing. It was just like, oh, this is a normal movie. Like I'm not have to worry about it. Like, it might be bad. Like, you know, I might go see a bad movie, but I'm not gonna like. Because one of the things is I never, only one time did I shut a movie off and be like, no, absolutely not. Like, I'll find something.
Will you reveal that title?
I can't remember the title. That's part of the problem.
Was it just like horrific?
It was just one of those like torture porn, like let's just like punch a woman in the face and kick her in the stomach for 90 minute type movies. I'm like, no.
I got better things to do in my day.
Yeah, one movie I shut off. So like, I think that was the main thing. It was like the relief that if I went to see a normal movie I didn't like, or if I rented one, I could shut it off. And it's like, and also, I didn't have to write about it. You know, that was, I think, part of why I quit, I was just starting to run out of things to say. Like, you know, you were saying before, like, that many movies.
Yeah.
There are that many titles.
Yeah, but the movies
are not that many narratives. You know, so I'd be watching a movie and like, and you know, I'd occasionally take notes and start writing a review and like getting deja vu. Like, I've said all of this about another movie that was similar, you know?
Yeah.
So, that was part of like why I was just like, well, maybe it's time to wrap it up.
Well, yeah. Now that you have the opportunity to be a little more discerning in your choices, what are you looking for?
Good movies. No, definitely. I'm still watching almost one every day. I do a side thing for Netflix called Tagging, which is like, you know, you get those like weird recommendations, like gory supernatural revenge thrillers set in Chicago in the 70s. Like, huh? Like, that's because we have these spreadsheets that we fill out, and it's just like, how much, you know, 1 to 5, gore, violence, nudity. Where's the
dad,
location?
Romantic comedy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Involving dads.
Wait, Netflix hires people to do that? Or like asks people to do that? Yeah. And so you watch a movie?
Yeah, it's a freelance, you know, side thing.
I had no idea how it was an algorithm.
They found me because of the site. They're like, we need another horror guy. And that's, I got to, they let me do the new Chucky today. I was like, oh, thank God, a normal like movie I would have watched. Because a lot of it's just
one?
Like, the new one, Curse of Chucky. Yeah. Like last week, it was this awful Jason Mewes movie. Red flag already. But he's like a mute farmer who like there's a film crew that kills his goat and he kills them all. Like,
oh, I saw you tweeting about that. Yeah. And you're like, sorry, I spoiled the movie.
Oh yeah, because they didn't kill the goat until like an hour into it. Yeah. That was the description. I was just like, I haven't escaped yet. I'm still having to watch this crap. But again, at least I don't have to write it up.
Yeah.
So that's
That is.
Did you find his review of Bear?
I did, actually.
What does it say for source?
Well, the first thing you actually kick off with, which actually is like the one selling point, which I think I think you'll find some humor in what. Well, I will tell
that's
you.
That's
a just
big a review. That's a lot.
No, this is like a full.
That's more
review.
Than you thought
and
about
agree,
that movie.
Way, it is. You've actually spent more time considering this movie.
Go ahead, official.
So you said this. As a vocal opponent of CGI, I was happy to see that Bear used an actual bear for pretty much every shot. And that's true. That was like the big thing. And here's the funny part about it, which people have heard this on the podcast, but the use of the actual bear alone was enough for that movie to make its money back. Like, just like straight up Japan was like, they saw a poster of a bear on top of an overturned van. They're like, we're buying it. Yeah. We're like, we're not done with it yet. They're like, we're buying it. That's it. Like, they literally, the entire country of Japan literally didn't even need to see the movie. Just off the poster alone was enough. And you're correct in that these are the most unsympathetic characters in movie history. But
at that time, I probably saw worse after.
But it's funny that you one thing that you noted, and this is actually kind of funny because you said you're surprised to learn in the end credits that there's only one bear named Blue because you figured there'd be a few and there'd be some, you know, for doing certain things. So story about Blue. Because that bear was very familiar with the van. It was getting on the van. We left the van with the animal trainers for like a month so that it would just be used to working around it in order for it to get on top of it. Just off of that, Blue booked a McDonald's commercial the year after. A Super Bowl McDonald's commercial. If you remember, there was one with like a bear like terrorizing some people like out in the woods. That's the bear from this movie. And the guy was like, the animal trainer was like, yeah, guess what, guys? I got the only bear in the world that has any car familiarity. And his reel for it is just him on a van. Yeah. And they're like, all right, boom, hired. And he's like, yeah, man.
I love that the bear has its own reel.
That bear is making more money than most Hollywood actors ever make.
Like, it's ridiculous.
That bear makes more money than human SAG members as a result of the fact that it has a reel where it stands on the car. And that's like all it took. And it booked like this ridiculous McDonald's commercial for a while.
I wish that's all you needed as an actor was just like...
standing on a car? Standing on a car?
I'm really good at caravans. Like, I can just stick me in a minivan.
And just look how good, look how natural this is.
I don't do smart cars.
I don't do smart cars, sorry.
It's gas.
Things freak me out.
Internal combustion or bus, man. Otherwise, I'm your man.
It's so silly.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
We're going to link to that review, by the way, because it's like absolutely spot on. I'm so glad that I've inflicted that
well
movie.
I mean, okay, yeah, so not the greatest movie, but the fact that the bear like had a motive, it made it interesting. Like, I've seen that movie where the bear is just killing him for no reason. It's a CGI bear on top of it.
Yeah,
and
it's,
then
it's
that,
an agent of chaos, whereas this one
yeah,
has
it's
morals,
just like,
has a
it's
moral
just like
center.
Well, this is entertaining or not, there's nothing to it, and I'm going to forget everything about it in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, when was that? Was the date? I mean, that was like 2010, right?
That had been a while ago.
Yes, it was. This particular review hit the internet 2010, but your review was March 15th, 2011.
Okay, so yeah, so that was two and a half years ago. I quit at the end of March 2013, so 800, 900 horror movies ago, and I could still remember that detail, but I couldn't remember, you know, whatever that date was, 2013. I probably don't remember shit about that movie, you know?
Fair enough, so. Fair enough. Well, we've done something right. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I wouldn't actually go that far.
Give me something to latch onto. That's what I'm looking for. Anything good or bad, I can latch onto and remember. It could be the best made thing in the world, but if there's nothing... If there's no hook, then I'm just going to forget about it. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
So, obviously, this is going to be a question that would be answered by, like, 8 seconds of Googling Freddy, but since you're here, I might as well ask it. Did you do both versions of the Funny Games, the one where they did, like, the shot-for-shot remake?
Oh, no, I had only seen the original one recently.
Oh, okay.
Actually, for horror trivia, because there was going to be a home invasion category. Like sometimes they tell you the categories ahead of time. So I was like, oh, you know, I'll finally watch the original Funny Games. Mm-hmm. So I only wrote up the review of the remake. I'm not the biggest fan of that one.
I
don't like the whole, like, let's rewind the movie thing. And there's some other things about it. I was just like, this kind of leaves me cold. Like, for home invasion, I think, I don't like that whole thing where they're like, this is what they want to see, right? Like, I just want to be scared and entertained. Like, you're not doing that. So, just kind of leaves me cold.
But it's one of those ones where the remake was a straight on shot for shot, line for line.
He was unhappy that it wasn't seen in America, really. So he just recast it with America.
Yeah, what a weird.
It is a weird.
Yeah, I mean, there was some, like, what's that movie? Long Weekend. It's an Australian movie. And they remade that pretty much with the same script. But there was still. They added modern touches.
Yeah,
like, Funny Games is literally the exact same thing.
I feel like that'd be like if you wrote Harry Potter and you're like, no, I want people in America to read this instead of just like copying it and bring it over. I'm gonna retype it word for word,
and all the
but just change all the British words.
British use, like, lifts, elevators.
It's like such an inefficient way of making people watch your movie. I know we saw it anyways. So, you've probably seen more horror movies than at least there's maybe 10 people who have seen as many horror movies as you have.
Yeah.
You mentioned before that you do writing, but, like, after seeing all these horror movies, have you thought, like, okay, I could go make a horror movie? Or are you now like, there's fucking nothing left to be done? I will never do...
I don't know if I could make my own... I could definitely read your script and tell you what not to put in it.
Also the 40 movies that it's driven.
Because, like, any idea you think you might be having for the rest, like, well... Yeah. Is this movie Bear? I don't have the patience. I've tried writing scripts, and I just, like, I'm on page 10. I'm like, and then they all die. Like, I just don't have the patience.
That might be a good horror movie.
Yeah. Just get to the good stuff.
Straight to the good stuff.
Actually getting inspired by American Horror Story, because this weekend I watched the whole season 2. Mm. Oh, I'm almost. I have one more episode left. And the kitchen sink approach, like, you can get away with this. Because, like, this is what I'd be writing. Because it seems like they get bored, like, every 10 minutes. And then it's like, and then also there's an alien. Yeah, okay.
I need to go back and watch that. That is very much, I think they were even saying, like, the actors get the scripts. Like, they're literally writing them, like, the second before Ryan Murphy gets them. And then he just, like, changes the whole thing. Yeah. But it does feel like it comes out the other side. Like, it's so insane and so bizarre and so bad, but not bad, that, like, you're just like, okay, I guess I'm just going along with how insane this is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, because if I didn't watch the first season when it aired, because, like, Ryan Murphy, I think, is terrible usually. Like, I've tried everything else he's done. Mm-hmm. Like, this is awful. I keep whacking this thing under.
That's all right.
So when that was announced, I'm like, no, like, if anything, this will make me more mad because it's screwing with my, that's my shit. That's horror. Mm-hmm. So I skipped it, but then I did this thing for the Chiller Channel. It was like a talking head, like, I love the 80s type thing, but they do different horror categories. So, like, they did, like, a slasher one. They did, like, creepy kids. And then they did this one called Horrifying Hookups, which was barely even horror. It was, like, stuff like Fatal Attraction, Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did, like, the whole Kate Mara angle storyline from the first season of American Horror Story. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen that yet. And they're like, well, just watch the pilot, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. And I watched the pilot. I'm like, it's actually kind of cool. I'm like, I'll watch one more. That way I have a little more. Dude, I watched the entire first season like in 2 days. Excuse me. And but then at that point, season 2 is already like halfway over.
Yeah.
So I just started. I just got season 2 now and watched it.
For season 3.
3 is good. Premieres tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, it's like this week.
Wednesday, yeah. So, the DVR is set this time. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm not waiting anymore. Like,
yeah, there's not a lot of horror on TV.
That's
huh?
what I was saying. No, there's really, that's like a sort of new world, sort of unexplored territory.
Well, back in the day, obviously, Twilight Zone and stuff like that. Did you watch American Gothic?
I never saw it, no.
Sam Raimi show. There's like Tales of the Crypt, I watched.
It was probably the biggest like horror anthology show.
Yeah.
So I feel like the 80s heyday, there were a lot of horror television shows.
There's a lot of anthologies. Like or like stuff like the Friday the 13th series, which had a main character, but like everything else about it was different.
Freddy's Nightmares. Yeah, a lot of stuff during the heyday.
The Hitchhiker.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now, I mean, we have Supernatural, which is actually really good.
Yeah, I like Supernatural.
Grimm, which I didn't care for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but how much of that is just
Bates, a lot of cable stuff. Bates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. They're kind of getting back into it now.
There's a new Dracula.
Vampire Diaries. That's really horror.
I don't know about that new Dracula.
But there's like a whole subgenre now of just like kind of horror, but like sexy horror.
Yeah,
horror.
Yeah, yeah. Is that like hair metal for horror?
Sexy vampires. So many sexy vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a whole new subgenre, right? It's like this. It started with
sexy vampires. Like, is its own subgenre. Yeah. Oh yeah. You got vampire movies, but then you have sexy vampire movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like zombies, fast or slow.
Exactly. Vampires. It's another subcategory.
The vampires, to be fair, were more or less supposed to always be sexy.
Yeah. Vampires
like,
vampires,
they should be horrific, but they were always like lustful.
Maybe it's vampires and sparkly vampires.
Like vampires and werewolves. You know, like they'd have the sexy kind of werewolf. You know, but now it's like we have the sexy zombie, which was. What the hell is it? Warm bodies, you know. It was like the Twilight for zombies. And now we have the Frankenstein, which is like sexy Frankenstein. It's like Aaron Eckhart with like a little bit of makeup up, but like looking pretty badass.
Well,
like,
he's got a
black hoodie.
Yeah.
That Beauty and the Beast show.
Yeah.
It's like this just hunky like, monster beastly. Dude with a scar.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
he looks the beast. So good.
Like, he looks ridiculous. So good. Yeah. It's like you could punch that guy in the face a few more times and you'd still be five times more handsome than I am. Like, it was just like not Beauty and the Beast.
So it's like, do you hit the 24-hour fitness when the full moon comes? Out, or is that just kind of been around?
He's got a little hair on his back or something.
Yeah, exactly, right? The waxing as well? Yeah, I wouldn't think, when you're a beast, I would never expect the guy to wax that much for that. Yeah, these guys are just shredded at this point, too. It's just like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, we're talking about waxing werewolves.
Yeah,
so you still do a horror movie, because I see on Twitter you do these screenings, which actually I've never been to, but they're, I would actually love to go to one. Yeah. As I was about to ask, so that the New Beverly?
Yeah.
It's like a monthly thing?
Yeah, so... That started, actually, this guy there named Phil, who used to program screenings there. And I kept bugging him. He did the horror stuff. I mean, the midnight stuff, and a lot of it was horror. And I was bugging him for, like, a year. I'm like, do Shocker. And, like, he finally booked it. He's like, do you want to, like, co-host it? I was like, hell yeah. And then, like, I arranged to get, like, Wes Craven there and some of the actors. So it went well. And he was like, you know, if you want to keep doing these, like, every now and then, that'd be cool. So I kept doing them. And then he kind of parted ways with the theater, but we had already booked... I can't remember. I think it was In the Mouth of Madness. We'd already booked that to do the next one. And I was like, well, can we still do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to Michael, the guy that runs the New Bev.
Michael, like, yeah.
Michael Torgan. Yeah.
That's right.
And so we did it and it went well. So he's like, all right, we can keep doing these then. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then, you know, the site ended the daily aspect last March, but I still update like once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the stuff I see, the new movies.
You did Texas Chainsaw 2 last month, right?
Yeah, I did Texas Chainsaw 2. Actually, that was the second time we did that. That was one of the ones I had done with Phil, but it was during Comic-Con, so I can't remember if it was like what the crowd was like, but I know it was like we felt like it had a bigger turnout, and I remember people saying like, oh, it'd be there, but I'm still in San Diego. Mm-hmm. So we're like, all right, let's do that again. And
that's a great movie to run twice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that one's totally fun. Yeah. And then... the month before we did Nightmare on Elm Street 4, which was the first sellout that we ever had, so that was cool, because we had the entire, except for Freddy, the entire cast there.
Oh, that's awesome. So,
like, everybody killed, basically. we're doing... we try, I mean, sometimes, if the movie's real long, which isn't too often, but if it's like a nearly two-hour movie, like, it's like, hey, let's not look for somebody, because, you know, the movies are at midnight, they never start on time, no matter what. And we have to do the Q&A before because, like, we're not going to, like, ask, like, a director, you know, like, Wes Craven. We're like, yeah, can you be here at 2:30 a.m.? So we do the Q&A before, and then, you know, again, that delays the movie even further. So usually they start, like, actually, like, 12:30.
Yeah.
So if the movie's going to be long, we're like, yeah, let's not do the Q&A. I'll go up and say hi and thank him for coming and throw a few DVDs out and then, you know.
What are you running next?
So the next one is Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, which is Halloween 6, starring Mr. Paul Rudd, in his second movie, I think, after Clueless. Yeah.
Paul's coming.
It's funny, that's the joke, but he would have, we contacted him, and he's like, I'd be down, but he's like, that's my kid's birthday that weekend, they live in New York, so he's going to be there. But, he answered the email, 20 minutes.
Well, you just have to run it again.
Some
bullshit.
Yeah, we're going to run it every weekend.
Sounds like one of those road excuses, if you ask me.
Because he said before, he's like, they never asked me to do that, they think I'm embarrassed by it. He's like, I think it's cool. He's he's like, my first three movies is a Halloween movie, that's awesome.
I've been researching, I didn't find out until recently that there is an alternate and very infamous
the producer's cut. I haven't watched it for a while. I saw it back when the news of that first came out, a year or so after the movie. I got this crappy VHS bootleg of it. Actually, no, I take that back. I did watch it because my wife wanted to watch it. That's Paul Rudd. So I was like, oh, let's watch this one. He's in it more. It's funny. I actually, for the most part, kind of prefer the theatrical one. The ending's better, I think, on the theatrical version. The producer's ending is very strange, and it goes even more with that cult stuff. I'm not really into the whole cult angle. I just want Michael Myers chasing folks, the good old stuff. It's a fun movie. We try to do a Halloween one every year. We did Halloween 2 last year, and we did 3 the year before. And I actually really wanted to do 4 because it's the 25th anniversary, but... Screen Vision and Trankus, who owns the rights to it, they're doing Halloween 1, 4, and 5, one night only type screenings. AMCs and stuff like that. They do those one-off things.
They're probably not very good transfers.
No, they're really bad. They did 4, and it's funny because they were like, it's the first time Halloween 4 and 5 have been seen since their original release. I'm like, no, you guys did this 5 years ago. I went. Yeah. And it looked terrible. It's just they look like DVDs. The AMC Burbank.
Is 2 and 3 terrible or something? Is that why they do 1, 4, and 5?
I love 2. No,
2
and
3,
I especially love 3.
3 is a different owner.
3 is the one that's famous for not having Michael Myers in it.
Yeah.
They just went with the anthology approach. Yeah. Every Halloween, we're going to do a new Halloween movie, a new story.
Oh, interesting.
No Michael Myers. I think it's... I think it's 3. A great movie. It's a lot of fun.
3's great.
But I know people hate that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to see it.
If they didn't already have Halloween 2, if Halloween 3 was Halloween 2, I think it would have worked. Because then they could have been like, it's going to be different every time. But they already established.
1, 2, they
got 1, 2, and then fuck you. Yeah, exactly. You can't do that.
You can't just drop that the third round in.
Yeah. And 3 are universal. 1 and 4 and 5 are... I don't know who owns it, but Anchor Bay has the rights for DVDs. And then the rest of them are all Dimension Miramax.
Okay.
All right. Well, hold on for one second here. We're going to take a quick break.
Break time.
And we're going to be right back into this horror movie discussion in a very sort of spooky themed Halloween version of our podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Welcome back. And for those of you watching the video stream, you may notice that we've gone... No expense has been spared here for the Halloween decor and decorations. I noticed there's a tag still on one of these skeletons. Dez, could you explain what exactly the thought is?
Well, we're returning those to Target tomorrow afternoon.
The infamous free Target rental. So we have 2 small gourd-esque-sized pumpkins.
They're pretty weak pumkins.
It's like a squash. I don't think that's...
Were those the biggest pumpkins you could find?
At the
smallest. Well, what did you go for?
I didn't purchase those. I gave instructions to our podcast producer. I said, come back with a skeleton and 2 pumpkins.
And we got 2 skeletons.
And so we got 2 skeletons and 2 pumpkins.
And you may spend no more than $5 total.
Yeah.
So we were just at yesterday, in the theme of Halloween and spookiness, we were just at the Universal Horror Nights.
Halloween Horror Nights,
Halloween Horror Nights. And I think secretly, everybody in the world... kind of in the back of their head wishes that they get asked to consult on creating a haunted house. That's everyone's dream. I know that at least it's mine. Everyone,
Come on.
You never thought
you
how
didn't have
cool
one good
be?
Idea to contribute?
No. I hear a bunch of good ideas. I could totally compile them into a pretty cool haunted house, but
that might be a job somewhere.
Could you have a hacky guy who could just take other people's ideas and make a house? for us.
Sure.
Who doesn't really give a shit about it? Can we get that guy to make our haunted house?
See, I heard he's great at just repeating. Yeah, exactly. So, but Brian, growing up, I mean, did you ever do the haunted house thing around Halloween?
Yeah, yeah. There's and I grew up in Massachusetts. There's a place called Spooky World.
Leaves nothing to the imagination.
Let me tell you what it was. It was like a seasonal thing. They had it. It was down in not too far from Foxborough, which is where the Patriots play. And it was like when I was like 13 or 14, I think was the first time I went. And to me, that's like the coolest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. First of all, I think Halloween in New England is way better than Halloween anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like as much as like you guys can do this stuff, like
you'd be confused otherwise.
It's just harder for me to get into the Halloween spirit around here just because the weather's warmer and like
and the
trees,
lights probably.
Yeah,
there's no trees.
Probably
probably dim the lights.
Crap. Come on, man. Orange light.
Yeah.
Maybe more trick-or-treating there, too?
Oh, definitely. I've never had a trick-or-treater here.
Oh, yeah. That's not a thing. Not in L.A. You don't send your kids out.
Yeah, yeah.
You will now where we live. You'll see some trick-or-treaters.
Really?
Yeah. But that's about it. It's like a few little areas.
I'm looking forward to that. I'll go get some candy.
But so Spooky World was like
World,
was
yeah,
part
so it was
of
like
normal...
the main thing was like a hayride. You know, like the you go on the hayride. Mm-hmm. Like every now and then like some guy pretending to be Leatherface, pretending to be Jason, like a knockoff.
It's like, wow, it's all the movies in one place.
Yeah. It swipes at the thing. Yeah, it's cheesy but it's fun. And they'd have a couple of mazes and this big barn where you could get like the vampire teeth and the costumes and posters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they'd always have a celebrity. And signed autographs, and this is in the 90s. This is before they started charging all the time for your autographs. So, like, looking back, I'm like, wow, I got, Robert Englund and Kane Hodder and all those guys signing for free.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, I mean, when you're 13, it's the coolest thing in the world to meet Freddy, meet Jason, you know? And then it closed for a while, and I guess I was actually just in Massachusetts for a wedding last week, and I saw a sign up, so I guess they reopened it. But I'd imagine it's. I haven't been yet, but the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride. I imagine that was something
similar.
Yeah,
have you gone to a lot? Because there's a ton. And
yeah,
I mean,
there's
I know
so much, and it's
them,
just hard to get to them all. Like I've been to Knott's a few times. I like that one a lot.
I haven't been to Knott's. The Hayride. You haven't checked out the Hayride?
No, the Los Angeles. One? Should, no, we're gonna
that was,
this
that's
year.
Pretty neat, actually. Yeah, that one's really creative.
So I've never actually been on a hayride.
Mm-hmm.
Is it exactly what I think it is? Which
what do you think it is?
I imagine a Quaker. Pulling a cart, and there's seats with hay, and there's some candy corn, and then just a cornucopia of terror around you through a cornfield.
Yeah.
Well,
no candy
there
corn.
There are no cornfields in Griffith Park, not to my knowledge, but you got everything else right, down at the Quaker.
Really? They do the Quaker?
No, they don't have a Quaker. There's, I don't know. I don't know what the front of the
cart
looks
like. What's
like
the scariest thing they do?
There's a tractor. You're in like a little, like, it's a giant cart.
It's huge.
Behind a tractor,
They probably pack like 50, 60 people.
Yeah, and you all sit around the
cart.
Edge of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Last year, there was one thing. I guess they change it up every year, so I don't think I'm spoiling anything. But the cart pulled up alongside a church, and there was this like demonic seance. And where we were parked, we could see that there were about 60 hooded figures, and we could only see their backs as they're looking up at like this high demon priestess who was actually about 3-4 stories tall, just like conducting this horror symphony.
She was regular size, but
it was like this interesting animatronic type.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean like
thing.
It was a giant,
it was a giant thing, yeah.
Oh.
Giant arms, like
a wicker man,
sort of like a witch demon wicker man.
See, I thought you misspoke. I was like, Dez clearly misspoke here. Yeah. 3-story tall animatronic thing is, a woman is out of the question.
No, they go all out. They have all sorts of really neat animatronics and
so
stuff.
So there's
like
a giant
that.
Animatronic.
There's a
female.
Giant thing, demon thing, like 3 stories tall, like talking to all these cloaked figures with glowing red eyes. But again, we can only see their backs, and the cloaked figure is distracted and looks over and sees all of us in the cart, and then sort of like with its 20-foot skeletal arm, like points over at us. And
guys didn't pay.
All of the people slowly turned and looked at us at the same time, and they all had mutilated faces and stuff. Little things like that. It's kind of eerie. You know, it's very like a little nightmare scenarios.
Here's what I think will really kick it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You get a few plants in your hayride, mm-hmm. and then they turn over. And now, step two, one dude just approaches the cart
and drags a kid off screaming, and then they just beat him to a pulp.
They do plants and stuff, right? Like I've seen, I don't know if they do the hayride, but I've been to things that did like plants.
I love that. I love the idea of messing with people in that
way. Well, because I always feel so safe. Like even if it's like scary, like if, like this, for me the scariest thing there was, I only did it like once, but up in, I don't know if you know the area, Tahunga, but there was like two kind of popular haunted houses there, and like they were pretty scary, but I kind of knew it's a haunted house, like it's whatever. The scariest thing was when we walked outside and we were walking between them, there's some dude in a mask that was just running at people with a shovel and scraping on the concrete, and like that was terrifying because I had no idea if it was a psychopath or just a dude who's literally just about to murder people on Halloween, and I shit myself. Like that was terrifying. That I don't think so. I was pretty young, but that I've never been to a haunted house where, like, outside, like, kind of like a spook, like, you know, like an initial, like,
well,
scare.
There's a certain, when you walk into a haunted house, so I've done the Queen Mary down here.
I'm curious about that.
It's pretty good because they kind of, what they play up on is the whole, like, ooh, it's a haunted
that place is scary
in
anyway.
Pedro Harbor that you can maybe stay at, and there's a restaurant that's operating, but it's also haunted, supposedly, according to the Wikipedia. So they kind of play off of that side of it, and it's pretty big. They got all kinds of like areas and stuff. It's pretty fun. But what was kind of cool about that one is there was one maze that took you into the bowels of the ship, and they did something really clever, and I assume they do it every year because it's too clever not to do every year in some form, but you're walking along a gangplank, you know, like sort of looking, and then you're looking into like the storage areas of the ship. And they've set up things like, you know, ooh, cool shadows and maybe, ooh, crazy, creepy things. But they set up this one area and you're like, oh, that's really cool. What's down there? But what you haven't noticed is that as you're walking, you've actually walked onto a secondary platform that drops like 3 inches. It's just enough to make you feel like, oh my gosh, this thing's going down. Like every, and they time it so a lot of people are on, and they have enough that you're not really looking at, and then just all of a sudden it's like, ah! I almost just died.
What are you talking about? That one thing where, like, this would scare me. Where you're crawling through a really dark tunnel
So Kevin
over
Klauber,
like glass.
The friend of ours actually, so in San Diego, they do one in the park or whatever the sort of area
there Petco?
Is. Yeah. And I think they stopped doing this, but they had the best scare I think I've ever heard, which is there's a one section of it where you had to get on your hands and knees and crawl through a tunnel. And it's like pitch black after a certain point. But what you don't realize is that as you've crawled through, you've transitioned off of regular surface to a clear surface underneath you. And underneath you, they got a guy with a crazy mask and night vision goggles on his back, like you know, one of those like those carts when they change the oil in your car, like he's sliding along with you. And halfway through, they hit it with a light. So then all of a sudden, you are now face to face with a dude screaming and pounding
and
you can't move and you're confined and you're the only one there. It's like yes.
Like that would scare me. Like even
those are pretty crazy.
There was one thing that really freaked me out last year. The guys Jason Blum, who does
Blumhouse,
like the paranormal,
for me was
Blumhouse,
the I hit everything up last year that
when
was
they
the
that one room where they just kind of like there's like these sort of like these vinyl things that they blow up
inflated,
and squish against you.
You're like in a giant womb.
Yeah, it's basically being in a womb, but like it was really strong. And I was like, I mean, it's a real struggle.
If you're claustrophobic,
I'm not claustrophobic, I have a serious panic attack.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, absolutely.
That was, I mean, it was tough to get through. I mean, like the idea, you could see it being like, all right, you just kind of push it aside and go, but like they made you work for it. Like you'd push it, but the air is blowing, so it just kind of balloons under it. You know what I mean?
The neat thing about Blumhouse is it was interactive to a certain extent. It's you and a group of like maybe 10 or 12, and you go out on your own, and you're part of these scenes that you experience in these waypoints. Kind of
you sit down at one point, like watch like a magic trick, but then it goes wrong, and the magician comes out, and then that's when you're herded off to the next area. So I think, because I feel like a lot of them, especially the ones at like Universal, you're just constantly being herded.
You have to, though. So it's all about throughput. It's about just getting as many people through it. So you have to just keep moving. The ones that have a more directed experience, which sounds like what you're talking about, sound awesome.
Yeah, because then you get, I mean, it sucks because these guys put so much effort into the set design of the thing.
Yeah.
And you're being herded through, you know. Like I remember they did a Halloween house. Universal, they did like Halloween, Freddy, Jason. I forget if it was all one year or not. But me being a huge Halloween fan, the series I'm talking about, like I just wanted to like look around. Like I didn't care. Yeah, right. Like it's not gonna scare me when
you just
Michael's
live
like,
in that.
Yeah, I
that
mean they had a whole room
area they built,
to Halloween 3, which is just like that, like playing on a TV and like you know different things in the movie. I'm like I just want to sit here and look at all this stuff, man. But they'll just like, go and get scared. But it just isn't. I'm not gonna get scared.
Get scared. Buy some churros. Get scared again.
Yeah.
Did you do the Walking Dead thing?
I haven't gone to Universal. I'm actually gonna go to the. I'm going to Florida for a vacation.
Oh, and I'm gonna do get that at the park now?
Yeah, I'm going to get there on the last night, and that one has Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. They have an American Werewolf.
American Werewolf. So I'm stoked about it. I'm actually thinking about flying out too.
Yeah, right. I just want to see the American Werewolf thing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the funny thing about haunted houses, though, there's definitely a mentality when you get into it. There's one where it's like, okay, I know I'm going to set myself up to know what's coming. You know, like everybody walking into a haunted house sets themselves up a certain way, especially with a group of people. Mm-hmm. You know, so guys, you know, you don't want to look like, you know, like foolish in front of the girls in the group, whatever. So I think I have this dream of, like, if you do a haunted house, like, you have to, the first thing you have to address as a haunted house is you have to address that belief in safety and that psychological barrier that people put up. So the way I think you would do it is that you would start it off
by killing someone.
No, I think you started off really lame. Yeah. Like, straight up, like, as soon as they're like, okay, what's this gonna be? And you go in and it's just like, oh, okay, I get it. So once you get people in that mindset of like, okay, what? Okay, this is kind of, that's a guy in a costume, and I got it. But then, once you get them there, then you can drop it underneath, from underneath them, because then it's like the third room or something. That's like, oh no, now it's really on. Like, then that's where the unexpected.
You should break,
like,
the reality of the haunted house. You should have, like, one of the guys in the shitty masks come out and be scaring you.
Yeah.
And then another dude come in and be like, dude, what the fuck, John? This is my job. Be like, you fuck yourself, man. And they just pull out and they start stabbing each other. We're like, oh! And you're like, holy shit, are these two guys just killing each other? Exactly. Like, then you're freaked out. Now you're uncomfortable. Well, like, dude, I'm at a house of maniacs.
Exactly. I want the guy to disappear. I want the guy to disappear. Where it's like, what? Just go. Like, again, what is true?
And then they tell you, just get out of here, man. Just get out of here. And then you go through the rest of the house and there's nobody there anymore because they've had a problem. Like, just get out of here. The house is closed, man. And then what's the guy do? Just keep getting longer and longer. Yeah. You're like
the Jurassic Park ride. When you're on the Jurassic Park ride and it's just like, oh, guys, sorry. You know, like, we had a problem with the ride. We're going to have to take you off. Sorry. Like,
yeah.
We're going to have to divert your cart.
That's exactly.
Well, see, the thing
is. But then you just, like, literally get them. And then what you do is you direct them and they get out of the haunted house and now they're just in your house.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like a haunted house anymore. And then you just freak it out. Then you have people coming down.
Sounds like The Game with Michael Douglas.
Yeah. It's weird.
Everyone signs a waiver one month in advance.
I now agree with you. I'm totally down with haunted house.
You just realized.
You're talking about legit home invasion now. That's not a haunted house, guys.
No, that's not legal.
That's not a haunted house.
No, you knew without a house. Like, you set it up.
My name is Matt. I'll scare you.
Yeah.
I'm just coming to your house.
I don't really need ideas.
Wait, a haunted house where you go into somebody else's house and freak the shit out of them, right?
Haunt them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but here's the thing, right? What's kind of funny about that whole setup, though, is, again, what you kind of touch on is, like, what do people actually fear? In this day and age, it's the unknown, but what really is, it's mechanical failure. Like, let's say, like, the thing where it's like, oh wow, these are like, oh, fake electric wires, and it's like you have the person back, whoa, no, salt, hold on, there's a short here, don't go, and one kid, like, you have a kid go through and electrocutes the kid. It's like, oh my gosh, EMS has to come in, and what else? And so it's funny, the other thing is, Nathan, for you, that Comedy Central show, he did a quote-unquote real scary haunted house. The clip is online. But what he did was they just did a regular haunted house. But then afterwards, he comes up and he's like, sorry, did this person touch you? And they're like, yes. And it's like, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, we need to pull you aside here real quick. And like, we called a paramedics. She has a very contagious disease, and we don't know. We're just trying to be safe. But do you feel any symptoms? And the whole time she's like, what? And then the ambulance shows up. But then the ambulance is also in on it. Like, they get in, it's like, you know, it's probably okay. You know, it's this disease. You know, you can transfer through skin contact. It's not often. And then the ambulance driver's like, wow, that's weird. They're pulling us to the back entrance. I've never done that. And when they go in and they open the back door, it's like full on ET. Like, everyone's in hazmat suits and, like, leading her in. Like, what is actual terror?
I think people are still terrified of male nudity. So I think if you did my thing and you brought them into a house and, like, a guy just turned around, was like an old man just naked, you'd instantly be like, this is not part of a normal planned haunted house. Like, shit's going weird. Like, something's happened. Like, naked dudes just don't show up.
And then the third one is the crazy in society. So I think that the way you do that is when you get out, right? It's the gift shop. Or is it? Right? When you get in the gift shop, you're like, oh, okay, so it's done. What a stressful experience all that was. Let's get some t-shirts.
You know, be an amazing plant is to constantly have plants going out of the exit. So, like, you think, like, you're used to seeing the exit, like, I'm like, man, that was a great old time. And then when you actually exit, it's, like, nowhere near, like, where you were, and you're just in a backyard, and there's just, like, a guy staring at you. He's like, what the hell are you doing here, man? Like, where did I go?
I think it's just to separate the group and spit people out 6 different exits, yeah. It'd be pretty scary.
Yeah, just start freaking people out.
It's like, my phone's not working. Yeah.
That's the scariest part, yeah.
When you're trying to find your friends and your phone's not working. True terror.
Anyway, we had fun at university. Universal, it wasn't exactly that experience that Matt just pitched.
The Matt Arnold Craigslist haunted house experience for only $12.99.
I'll come to your house and scare you.
That's probably why I like Knott's, because Knott's, like the park, the regular park is still open, so mm-hmm. you can go like on a roller coaster in between, go on the first, you know, whatever else they got.
You can cool off.
Universal
a bit.
Doesn't really have, like, oh, let's go look at the car from Fast and Furious for a few minutes.
No, they do. They keep like the Mummy Ride and Transformers and stuff open too. Mummy Ride is actually one of the better indoor roller coasters on the old West Coast,
I suppose.
What? What other indoor roller coasters?
I'm a fan of like the old style, like wooden roller coaster, like the one at Knott's or the big one at
where you think you might die.
I want to feel like they haven't repaired it for.
Well, this is coming into my super secret dream idea of Scary Park. You guys heard about Scary Park?
I have once or twice.
The one in Jersey?
So Scary Park is my idea if I have trillions of dollars and I don't care about being sued. It's a theme park predicated on, it's a scary theme park predicated on what, on people's actual fears at theme parks, which is mechanical failure. Mm-hmm. So the whole theme park is just stressful because you're like, did that kid just run out and grab his hat, or did we just really kill that? Did we almost kill that kid? And it's like when you're stopped and you're like, this car's going to ram into us. This car's going to, oh, and then you have mothers running around plants again, like looking for their kids, and all the employees stoned or acting stoned and drunk. They're just starting it. When you get to the top of the roller coaster, your lap bar goes up. It's like, oh my gosh.
There's a fictional horror themed amusement park in the House on Haunted Hill remake.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. Mm. But one of the rides there, as the coaster goes over the loop, the track fractures.
Oh,
and they just have, I guess, a stable full of cars that they just shoot off into the parking lot full of dummies just to freak people out, and then they realign the track. I don't know.
That's awesome.
It sounds terrifying.
I've always thought, by the way, theoretically. No. It's okay. Sorry, this is just stupid. This is my stupid idea for a stupid thing, because you get sued so hard, so fast. Yeah, no, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'll say that what it scared me the last time I went to Six Flags was that, you know, you're always used to the minimum height requirement, but they have some that have the maximum height requirement.
Yeah.
And it's like 6'6". I'm like 6'3", so I'm like, yo, like, what
three
if
inches.
I'm like, what if I just
yeah.
had a
Am
jump?
I sitting
like,
low enough?
Am I going to get scalped? Like that freaked me out more than any, like, they had a broken ride. I was like, ah, that sucks. But, like, that didn't bother me. But, like, the fact that, like, I might be
you're
too
like
tall.
You're like down.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So it's like the maximum height here is 5'6". And then the stone kid's like, it's okay,
nah,
man, just go.
You're
fine. I feel like there's not like a bar at 6'6". Like,
yeah,
6'6" is the maximum height. Like, is there like 7'2"? Like, hey, how high is that bar? 6'7"? Yeah, 6'6". That means 6'6" is good to go.
There's no leeway at all.
There's no clearance whatsoever. I think you're okay. But no, I have the same Space Mountain, which is like not a scary ride, but I feel like that way the whole time because I'm not as tall as you, but I'm still like 6'2". So like anytime I'm like... It freaks me out when I see that, when I feel it, because I'm like, that'd be just an awful way to die.
Well, hold on. Space Mountain is actually horrifying, because most of Disneyland and Disney World's deaths come from Space Mountain.
No, I thought it was Thunder.
No, I feel like that's incorrect. I thought there weren't any.
Yes, but hold on. So specifically,
actually,
before
the Alice in Wonderland
teacups
is actually
before they made
deadly.
Some changes to it, there was a string of deaths and injuries from people dropping like cameras and stuff from higher levels ram into people on the cart. Like, they were just straight up like, boom, you came in, the dude behind you is dead. He got concussed by a camera and he's straight dead. And it happened a couple times in Disneyland. So then they retimed
allegedly.
It.
Yeah.
No, well, I mean, there's that whole like Disney doesn't let people die on the park thing where they pull people off. It's like, whatever. But yeah, Space Mountain's terrifying.
Is that Thunder Mountain is the number one? I thought Thunder Mountain
was
Death Mountain
the
or
one,
whatever.
Well, that's it's because there was the one incident.
The decapitation.
Where the car flipped off the tracks and flipped upside down and took out 36 people.
Yeah, so
took out a whole train car.
I've always thought that would be like the most depressing, but kind of like documentary of kids who like following kids, following kids like 20 years later, like the kid who had like their mom decapitated. Like how is there anything more traumatic than like your birthday going to Disneyland,
just
the happiest
Mickey's
place on
autograph.
Earth, and your mom gets it. Like,
you
it's
love
awful.
Choo-choo trains.
But like, I've always been curious. Like, are any of those kids normal, or do you just never recover?
No.
From that.
Probably not.
I wait.
And Disney won't refund you.
Matt's not normal either. Matt's clearly not normal.
And what? at least a lifetime pass. Like, come on. Yeah. At least some
come,
froyo.
Please come back.
We'd like to offer you a few dollars in Mickey bucks. We're really sorry.
And you know what's awful is like the moment that happens, just the massive bureaucratic mechanism that like starts rolling into where it's like, all right, somebody just died. Let's do this. Like, PR go this way. Like, newspapers go this way. Like, all right, we're talking to the parents and the grandparents.
Matt
like,
is probably, Matt's revealing a heavy, deep, cynical side that we haven't seen before yet, by the way.
You know, the scariest thing I saw at Halloween Horror Nights last night was them wheeling a man out on a stretcher. Eyes wide open, mouth agape, tongue hanging out. He looked dead.
Oh, my God.
Looked dead. When was this? He had a whole team of paramedics with him. People were running. They were flying this guy out of the park. That was the scariest
thing.
When
was this?
It was last night.
What?
Yeah.
A dude died?
Did you Google it?
He looked dead.
Probably drunk.
Yeah. I've heard, by the way,
I've seen drunk people.
He's from haunted house, like operators and stuff, mm-hmm. the worst people are drunk people because it's like they'll hit back. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, we're not. It's like, there's just tons of instances of people just getting clocked working as, like, oh, I was a scare character. Yeah. I was a scare character.
I'm going to look it up. I'm
drunk
sure
dude just
died.
Punched me in the tooth. Man, I had to go get surgery. It's like, great. That was a good way to make $12 an hour getting punched. Yeah, and the funny thing about these sort of like experiences, right? The whole like Halloween sort of horror, and what comes back to is it comes back to horror movies too, which is like it's this sort of space in society where it's like okay to feel that fear or approach it in a way that's sort of contained and manageable. You know, it's like I think horror movies take that side of it, and horror movies like which is that weird schedule thing where it's like horror movies come out right around now.
Yeah.
And in the middle of February, when it's like, what? Yeah. Right? It's like there's that weird sort of, all of a sudden, it's like, hey, let's try some horror movies out. It's like, yeah, guys, you want to go get scared right now? Yeah. It's springtime.
When I get back into horror, how did you get into horror movies in the first place? Was it like parents
mom,
showed you a
scary
movie?
Yeah, my mom liked them, so she let me watch. She let me watch with her. Like, I saw Poltergeist 2 in theaters, and that I was 6 when that came out.
Oh.
So I must have already seen Poltergeist 1.
by process of elimination.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know I was like 8 when she started renting like some of the Freddy's and, you know, Jason movies. Mm-hmm. I just always kind of like it. And the funny thing is, and I said it a few times on the site, like I never judged a movie for not being scary. Because I don't know if it's because I watched them that early or because my mom recognized that I wasn't easily scared and therefore I'd be all right with them. But I never, you know, like every now and then I'll get a jolt, like get a jump scare, you know. But like I'm not like the type that like if I go see, you know, a home invasion movie, if I go see Your Next or Strangers or whatever, like I'm not coming home and be like, oh shit, I'm kind of afraid about my house right now. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, that was good. Like,
What's like a scary movie to you? Like legitimately. Like,
the first time I saw Paranormal Activity, I got real, like, you know, again, like really good jumps.
Yeah.
But that was like 2 years before it came out. It was at Screamfest. Mm-hmm. Is before I picked up. It was like the first time it showed anywhere.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this really works.
Yeah.
I can't think. I remember when I was little, it's funny because I went up to Maine 2 weeks ago last weekend for a wedding. And I was in Massachusetts, really. We live in Massachusetts. The wedding was in Maine. For anybody that thinks that's like a continuity error.
Whoa, what did you say?
Hey, wait a second.
A lot of holes in this story.
4,000 kids just took their hands off their keyboards and crossed them. Now, like, what have you for us now?
I'm up in Maine. It was this, like, family campground that we used to go to in the summer on the weekends. And I was right... I remember I think I was 9 or 10, and I'd already seen the movie, but for whatever reason, I wanted to watch Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter, which is the best Friday the 13th, by the way. That's the one with Crispin Glover doing his dance. And I remember I got as far as the dude, Teddy, the guy that gets stabbed through the screen. And I got as far as that, and I just could not watch anymore. I'm like, I'm terrified, because I slept outside in a tent, because I couldn't fit. Inside the camper's like bunk bed anymore. I was too big. I was 6'1 or 6'2 by the time I was like 12.
Jeez.
So I was already like 5'10, 5'11. Yeah. I just couldn't fit basically. And I had a tent outside and I had to go out and the tent is like right on the woods.
Yeah,
and I was just like, ah. But it's funny because now it's like 20, 25 years later, whatever. And they still have that same spot at the campground. And I was watching the Crystal Lake Memories documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And like now it's like I've come full circle because I got special, not in this one, I got special thanked on the Never Sleep Again one. It was just like, when I was this age, I'm scared myself watching the movie. Yeah. Now I'm like, I know these guys and I'm watching the documentary about how all these movies are made. Yeah. So it was a fun little moment. But yeah, that I remember that. It was one of the few times that I can remember at least. Yeah. Like getting so scared by a movie that I had to shut it off.
Well, your environment has a lot to do. I have a friend of mine, mm-hmm. you may have met, who like will only watch horror movies on his laptop in scary environments, like by himself. Like I was like, oh yeah, I hadn't seen The Exorcist, so I drove out into Redwoods National Park at like 4 a.m. and watched it.
Who's that?
That was my friend Alex. And he was like, and when he did that too, it was like with his girlfriend, and he was like, yeah, we're not together anymore. But it was just like, you just park it towards, you know, like a grove of trees, and you turn off all your lights, and then you just watch the movie.
Well, this guy's
hardcore. It's way scarier. Like, yeah, I bet you it would be.
That'd be scary without a movie.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I am too, though. It's like I'm always chasing that that thrill. I'm looking for those.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd love to be like terrified.
You're
like,
basically the Bodhi of horror movies, like, just kind of chasing that wave, man.
Big wave.
I mean, I've seen a lot of horror movies, not nearly as many as you, but I've seen a lot, and I started watching them when I was really young, and it takes a lot to scare me nowadays. It doesn't happen often, but that's what I'm always looking for.
Well, I use my wife as a gauge.
It as a kid scared.
Scary as a kid. Yeah,
she gets scared a lot. You know, the Grudge. You know that thing thing that they do. That scares the shit out of her. So like I'll do that every now and then, like if we're walking home late or so, I'll just go, and they stop. But like that's how it gauge like if a movie was really working. If it was, I mean, some movies aren't, you know, they're horror movies, but they're not really meant like the Saw movies. I say they're cool, they're fun horror movies, but they're not, I don't think you're supposed to really get scared by them. Mm-hmm. You know, but some like those Jay Horror ones. You know, like The Ring, The Grudge, and all the ripoffs of them. Like, obviously, that's what
Ju-on,
they want.
I shut Ju-on off.
Tale Two Sisters. Tale Two Sisters freaked me out.
Tale Two Sisters is good. Shudder. So that's how I'd tell. Like, all right, this one works because she's getting scared. This one doesn't because she's just like, eh.
She's your barometer pretty much for that. Yeah.
But yeah, I never, like, again, I'm not sure if I was just desensitized because I started watching them early. Mm-hmm. But I never like. I actually wrote an article on Badass, like the five movies that actually scared me, and they're all kind of goofy ones. One's not even really a horror movie, but like those were like
one was Inconvenient Truth, terrifying to my core.
So like that's the thing. It's like I could pick literally five movies, one not even really horror that like I can remember like actually scare me the way that like some people do, no matter what horror movie.
Well, I think we're wrapping up to the end of our time here. So, a couple things. You have a screening coming up here in Los Angeles.
Yep, correct. It's, so on October 26th, and it's a midnight. So we say, so no one gets confused by the date. We say it's at 11:59 p.m.
Yep.
So 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, October 26th, at the New Beverly Cinema in Los Angeles. Halloween.
Where are you screening?
Halloween: The Curse of Michael Myers on 35mm. Everything that we do is 35mm.
You can get tickets on Brown Paper Tickets.
Brown Paper Tickets, yep. Not totally necessary. We don't sell out that
even
often.
Even on Halloween? Halloween?
It's a Saturday before Halloween, so I'm guessing that like a lot of parties will be going on and stuff.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. Oh, that was you?
Okay. I love Halloween 6. I'm a big Halloween fan. That's my favorite slasher franchise.
That was the first one I got to see in theaters, and I got carded. That's the only time I ever got carded. And my mom, this is before cell phones, so my mom she'd already dropped me off. I had to wait for her to get home and call her. And like, can you come back to the theater and like tell them like, yeah, I can go see the freaking Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And by the way, that you had gotten there so early to the movie that you
yeah,
no,
because
I
was like, it's gonna sell out, and it was like half full. So it'll be like that again. Don't get there too early, and I won't card you.
All right.
Well, I'm gonna stand by the door. And if you've seen Halloween 6, I'm gonna draw the thorn symbol on everybody's wrist if they want it.
Nice. So that's cool. All right, awesome, cool. Man. So do you have a Twitter or
site? Yeah, Twitter is Brian W. Collins.
Okay.
And the sites are Horror Movie Day, still updated, and then BadassDigest.com. I write a weekly article for them and then plus some other stuff on the side.
Awesome. All right, so all you horror movie fans out there, check out Brian at his aforementioned spots. Why don't we rattle off our Twitters here real quick before we get out of here. Dez, where you at?
I'm at Dez Dolly with a Z.
I think I'm at Matt L. Arnold.
Yes, you are, and I'm F. Wong. I think. Thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. It was great.
And dropping that movie knowledge, that horror movie knowledge on us. Thanks again.
And for everybody out there listening, have yourself a spooky rest of whatever the day of time of day you're listening at. Whatever. We'll see you guys later.